brethren. Let's go to Psalm 34. Now we see here at the heading in Psalm 34, it says this is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, let me give you some background so we can see who's speaking here. Now, it was well known that David was God's choice king of Israel. David was the king God had chosen. And so Saul tried to kill David to keep the throne for himself. Now, when Christ came in the flesh, it was known that Christ is God's chosen king. Herod, you remember, tried to kill Christ because he was trying to keep the throne, a physical earthly throne, for himself. And sinners by nature who think we're kings do the same thing, rejecting Christ. So David, he went into the land of the Philistines to Achish, the king of Gath. Now it says here that this was Abimelech, but Abimelech was a title for their king, just like Pharaoh was a title for the Egyptians' king. The man's name was Achish. And so David was in the land of Gath. That's where he had slain Goliath. He still got Goliath's sword on him. And there he is in Gath now, and he's surrounded by enemies. Now Christ our King dwelt on this earth. And the whole time he was here, he was surrounded by enemies. Whether, like David, he was in Israel, or he went to the Gentile land, he was surrounded by enemies. Go with me to 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21, verse 11. It says, "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." David was fearful that Achish was going to want to kill him. Verse 13, "And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. And then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you've brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now Christ did not feign madness, but he appeared like a madman to every God-hating rebel. And for that reason, we crucified the King of Glory. But, just like God delivered David, God delivered Christ. And so now, go back there, look there again at 1 Samuel 22:1, and let's read this a little different way. Now listen to this. "Christ, therefore, departed from this earth, and escaped to the right hand of the Father. And when his brethren and all his father's house hear the gospel, they go thither to Christ. And everyone that's in distress over their sin, everyone that's in debt to the law, everyone discontented, bitter of soul, gather themselves unto Christ through faith. And he becomes the captain over them. And they are with Christ a number no man can number." Now let's go back to Psalm 34. So, like as David taught this psalm to his brethren who came to him, Christ, our prophet, teaches all who come to him, and he teaches us to give all the praise and all the glory to God for saving us in Christ through His finished work. That's what Christ, just like they came to David, God delivered David, and they came to David, and David taught them this psalm right here. Christ has been delivered. He's been raised to the right hand of the Father, and when God brings His people to Him, Christ, our prophet, He's called our prophet because He teaches us effectually in our heart. And Christ teaches us to glory in God alone. So our subject tonight is Christ teaches us to glory. Now, first of all, Christ teaches us what it is to glory in the Lord. Psalm 34:1. He says, I will bless. That means give honor, praise, and glory. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So first of all, we see here to bless the Lord is to praise only the Lord. Christ says, I'll bless the Lord. I'll bless the Lord. Christ, the Son of God, took flesh, came to where we are to glorify our triune God. He came to glorify only the triune God, to give Him all the glory and the salvation of God's elect. Hebrews 1 says, God in these last days has spoken to us by His Son. And then it says, and Christ is the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image of His person. So even in Christ's person, He glorified only God. The Scripture says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the new birth, what happens? God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shines in our heart to give us the light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So everything that we're going to learn about the glory of God, we're going to behold it in Christ. Christ gives all the glory to God. That's what He came to do. Just like the text Eric just read. God said, I'll raise up a prophet like unto Moses. I'll give him the words. He'll give those words to you. That's what Christ is doing in our text. He's given us the words and teaching us to glory in God only. Now, we haven't gloried only in God if we praise ourselves for one little part of our salvation. If we just praise ourselves for one little aspect of salvation, we're not glorying only in the Lord. Glorying in the Lord, praising the Lord, blessing the Lord is to glory only in the Lord. And then we see here to bless the Lord is to do so at all times. He says there in verse 1, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means in happy times and in sad times. You look to the cross and we see our substitute bearing more sorrow than any man ever bore. When you see that cross, there's no sorrow like unto His sorrow. That's the lowest time in the history of the world, as far as man's sin and rebellion is concerned. And you see Christ bearing the worst sorrow anyone ever bore. But what do you see Him doing at the same time? Glorifying God like no man ever has, shall, or will. And He's doing it in perfection. I'll glory in the Lord at all times. When Christ sends His preacher, as that preacher's preaching the gospel, you know what Christ is doing? He's glorifying the Lord. Because Christ, when He's speaking through His preacher, when He gives the message through to His earthen vessel, it's being poured into that earthen vessel and poured out of that earthen vessel to the people, and it's Christ speaking and glorifying the Lord continually. Praise coming out of His mouth continually for the triune God. By the Spirit of Christ, you remember when Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison. That was a bad time. That was a very sad time. God's message. Can you imagine? I try to think about that today. Imagine if y'all heard that I was cuffed and whipped and thrown in jail. Can you imagine what the Lord's people thought? But what did it say about Paul and Silas? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. That's the Spirit of Christ working in His people. So God's providence may cause us sorrow. In this world you shall have tribulation. But at all times, God is only doing what is good for us and what brings Him glory. And so we're exhorted in the Scriptures, in everything, give thanks. Praise Him. Glorify Him. For this, whatever the trial is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God that we thank Him and praise Him and glory only in Him. And whatever trial He brings us into, this is the will of God concerning you. So thank Him. Praise Him. And then Christ teaches us here, to bless the Lord is to do so from the heart. He says there in Psalm 34:2, My soul shall. The sinless God-man glorified God the whole time He walked this earth from the heart. From the heart. Even unto the death of the cross. When our Lord was hanging on the cross in darkness, bearing the sin of His people, forsaken of God, satisfying divine justice, upholding God's justice, magnifying God's law, showing the righteousness of God, who will by no means clear the guilty. While He was doing that, He continued from His soul glorifying God. And He did it in perfection. He's the only one that ever did it in perfection. In our flesh, as we come into this world, we can't glorify God. We can't in our flesh because all our flesh is sin. We cannot glorify God. You know how foolish it is for vain religion to continually tell sinners to clean up the outside. Be cleaning up the outside. That's all vain religion is concerned about. Cleaning up the appearance. Cleaning up the outside. That's what you hear in every message. Being moral outwardly. And Christ said this, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He's always stern with the leaders of vain religion. He was merciful to the poor sinners who were being deceived by them, but He was strict with those false preachers. He said, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Christ told us they were all concerned about what they ate. Eating without washing your hands first. You're going to defile yourself doing that. That was just a law made up by men. Just like men in churches make up their church laws that they have and they enforce as if it's God's word. And He said to them, He said, it's from within, out of the heart of men that proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and thefts and so on. Out of the heart. He said, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So that means it's not your surroundings. It's not how you were, what your situation was with your upbringing. It's not what you eat or what you drink. It's not what you do outwardly. The evil is from our sinful heart. That's where the evil comes from. The things that come outwardly that you can actually see that religion's worried about covering up, that's coming from a heart that no man can change. That no man can change. Christ redeemed must, we must be born again. And all Christ redeemed shall be born again. He went to the cross and laid down His life that we might be partakers of the adoption of children, that God might send forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts and make us cry, Abba, Father, from a new heart, a clean heart, a pure heart. So we must be born again. We must be given a new heart, because no man can glorify God in the flesh. All we are is sin in our flesh. We have to have a new spirit put within us. A new man has to be created within. And in that new man now, He brings us to glory in the Lord. Why is that so? Because religion, true religion, is not just outward, it's in the heart. It will affect the outward, but it begins in the heart and works out from the heart. Why? Because God told Samuel when he was choosing David, he said, don't look on his outward appearance. God does not look as man looks. God looks on the heart. Christ said, the hour cometh, and now he is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, in a new spirit that He gives in the new birth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. That means that's the only kind that's going to worship God are those that's worshiping, that's been given a new heart, a new man, a new spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If a man denies that there's a new spirit, a new man created within, I know that new man is one with Christ, but that new man, Christ is not, He's not worshiping for you. He's not believing for you. He's not repenting for you. It's in that new man that we can actually worship Him and repent from our dead works and serve Him. Otherwise, if all a man has is the flesh, you can't do anything in the flesh. Nothing comes from the flesh but evil. So to glorify God is to praise only God. That's first of all, is to do so at all times. And it's to do so from a new God-given spirit. And here's the next thing we see. To bless the Lord is to boast in God our Savior. He says there, verse 2, Christ said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's what we're doing, brethren. When we gather to hear the gospel preached, we're bragging. We're bragging. But whereas religion is bragging on man and on how you can clean everything up and how you can make Christ's blood effectual for you, that's bragging on man. We're bragging on God. We're making our boast in the Lord. Go to Jeremiah 9. I want you to see something here. I want you to see two or three scriptures. Jeremiah 9:23. I'm just going to go to verse 4 in our psalm, so don't worry. Jeremiah 9:23. Don't you see this? Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now watch this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised, that is, which are physically circumcised, with those that are physically uncircumcised. You know, Israel, those of Judah, they put all this confidence in outward physical circumcision. That's what religion's doing today. They put all this confidence in outward acts of religion. The Lord said, there's coming a day when I'm going to punish all those that are doing all those outward acts along with all people that have never done those outward acts. Why? Look at this. Well, let's read on. He says, Egypt and Judah. That's Gentiles and Jews. Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. Why is he going to do this? For all these nations are uncircumcised and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. You see that? In the heart. What's he talking about? Circumcision, physical outward circumcision that God gave to Abraham was to typify circumcision of the heart. Regeneration. the new birth. It was given to typify that. That's wherein God makes His covenant with us, writing that covenant on our hearts, and He brings us and teaches us to glory only in the Lord. Go with me to Romans 2.28. Romans 2.28. This is what Paul is talking about right here. He had said to the Pharisees in this chapter, they were so strict outwardly. He said, there's Gentiles that don't even have the law of God. And they got the law of God written on their heart too. They know stealing's wrong. And he says, but what if now one of those Gentiles that never been under the law of God actually fulfills the righteousness of the law? The only one way you can do that, that's through faith in Christ. He says that over in Romans 9. The Gentiles who sought not after the righteousness of the law obtained it. How? Through faith in Christ. And the Jews who were seeking the righteousness of the law did not obtain it because they were seeking it by the works of the law. So he says here, if one of these Gentiles actually has the righteousness of God, will he not condemn you? Will he not show you to be absolute, utter fraud? And here's what he's teaching. Romans 2:28. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. He's a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. We're talking about praise tonight. We're talking about glorying in somebody. This work, this inward work of God brings a man to glory in God. And that word there where it says whose praise is not of men, those men that are doing outward works, they're trying to get the praise of men. But this work God does, wherein He brings a sinner to cast all his care on Christ, he actually has the praise of God, the commendation of God, acceptance with God. And that sinner also glorifies only in God. God destroys the wisdom of the wise, and He brings to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Who is the wise and the prudent? That's me and you, all of us, by nature. We think we're so wise and so prudent. Just ask a man, any man, he never even picked this book up, and he'll tell you everything he knows about God and about Scripture. But God's going to destroy, and everybody He saves, He's going to destroy the wisdom of the wise, so-called wisdom of the wise, and the so-called prudence of the prudent. He's going to destroy that. How's He going to do it? First of all, He's going to save using the foolishness of preaching. That's what 1 Corinthians is telling us. The reason God's going to do it this way, the reason it pleased God to save through the foolishness of preaching, this means of public preaching, is because by this means He destroys those who boast in their wisdom, saying they found out God without hearing the gospel preached. And He's going to save using only the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. Not only is it the foolishness of preaching He's going to use, it's only going to be the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, declaring that Christ alone is all in the salvation of His people. And He's going to use weak, unimpressive nobodies to preach that gospel. Congratulations, Eric. God just declared before everybody in the world that you are a weak, helpless, ignorant nobody. And that's who He uses to preach. You got one standing right here in front of you. But what does He do through all that? He brings to naught things that are. He brings to nothing people who think they're something. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him. Through this means of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Through this means of Him is Christ made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what Jeremiah was talking about. That's what the Lord was declaring through Jeremiah when He said, if you want to glory, glory in this, that you know and understand Me, how that I execute righteousness and judgment in the earth. Because that's where you find it in Christ. Our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification and redemption. And he makes him all this unto us through this preaching. Through the preaching of Christ and him crucified. Through a nobody preaching. That stains the pride of man. But he does it so that he that glorieth, he that's going to make his boast now, he's going to make his boast in the Lord. His boast in the Lord. Now let me tell you what that means, brethren, and be sure to get this. Only those saved by this means glory in the Lord alone. Only those saved by the means that God is pleased to use glory in the Lord alone. All who claim to be saved another way glory in themselves. Whatever is that different way, whatever part is that different way, that's the part wherein they're glorying in themselves. Whatever it is. To glory in the Lord is to boast that our salvation is all of the Lord alone in the way He's pleased to do it, in His way. Now, let's go to the next thing here. That's first Christ teaches us what it is to glory, and then Christ teaches us who's going to glory. Who will glory in the Lord? Psalm 34:2, the second part. The humble shall hear thereof. They're going to hear this message and be glad. And be glad. That's who's going to glory. Only those God has made humble. Only those He's given a broken and a contrite heart. He's going to talk about that a little later in the psalm. We'll come to that another time. But only those He's given a broken and contrite heart to bow to God's way, they're the only ones that are going to hear this message and they're going to be glad. Aren't you glad it's this way? I'm glad it's this way. There's no other way I could have been saved than God's way. There's just no other way. I had no ability in me to do it. It has to be God's way. And they hear this and they're glad. I'm glad that it pleased God to save through the foolishness of preaching. I'm glad it pleased God to save with the preaching of Christ and Him crucified only. I'm glad that God used somebody that was nobody to bring me to nothing. I'm glad of that. You know why? Because I know by that it was all of the Lord. And I'm glad. I rejoice in it. They hear this and they're glad that God chose whom He would and passed by whom He would. Why does that make you glad? Because He told Moses that is His very glory. I'll choose whom I will and I'll pass by whom I will. That's the glory of God. That's His glory as God to do so. They hear this and they're glad that Christ came and accomplished our redemption by being made a curse for us. I'm glad when I hear that there's nothing left for me to do. I'm glad when I hear that Christ fulfilled the law and honored the law and upheld God's righteousness. Act magnified and honored the law because I never could have done it. But He did it. And He's the righteousness. Our righteousness. I'm glad He's my righteousness. They hear and they're glad that Christ is our sanctifier and our sanctification. Why? Because it gives Him all the glory as our holiness. I don't want it to be, as men ignorantly, foolishly, vainly preach, that they'll preach everything is all of the Lord except for this thing of sanctification. And they'll say, that's a co-effort between you and the Lord. Well, then if it is, you got wearing the glory. That doesn't make me glad because that steals. That shows you it's not true sanctification because that's robbery. That's thieving. That's impure and unholy. That's stealing the glory that belongs to Christ. I want Him to have all the glory. I want Him to have the glory of being my holiness. Don't you? I hear that and it makes me glad. When I hear that we're kept by the power of God unto salvation and that Christ will lose none, that makes me glad. Because I prove every single day that if He wasn't keeping me, I'd fall away. It gives Him all the glory and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that every good work that a believer does was ordained by God before this world was made and God brings him to do that work that He before ordained. I'm glad of that. Because it gives God all the glory for every good work that a believer does and doesn't give us any room to boast in ourselves. We boast in the Lord. So we're thankful, brethren. Now, the one and only reason a man would not hear this and be glad, there's only one reason a man would hear this and not rejoice. He wants just a little bit of this praise that goes to God only. He wants a little bit of it. I pray tonight God would make somebody hear this, or later when they hear it on tape, or however they hear, I pray God would use it to give them a new heart and bring them to glory only in the Lord and be glad. I'm so glad that He gets all the glory. And then look at this last thing. Christ teaches us how it is that we come to glory in the Lord. He says here, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." This is the only way a sinner is going to cease boasting in himself and trying to take just a little bit of God's glory, which is to try to take it all. The only way a man's going to stop boasting in himself and trying to steal God's glory is when Christ commands this command effectually in his heart and says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Christ magnified the Lord's righteousness by declaring God just and justifier of everyone that believes on Christ. And He makes us magnify God's righteousness. You know how? By submitting to Christ our righteousness. You want to glorify God's righteousness? All these people going around talking about what honor they have for the law of God and how they want to see the righteousness of God's law upheld. And they're going about doing these things they're doing because of that. You want to really magnify the righteousness of God as Christ magnified the righteousness of God? Submit to Christ our righteousness, the righteousness of God. And you'll glorify and magnify the Lord. He says to us, let me read this psalm. I want you to look at this psalm. Psalm 35, just one psalm over. Psalm 35, 27. Look at this. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." You see what the margin says? "That favor my righteousness." They favor my righteousness. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yet let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servant," of Christ His servant. That's who the Lord has pleasure in, the prosperity of Christ His servant. Now then He says to you, "Let us exalt His name together." Exalting Christ, confessing Christ to be all my salvation, exalting Christ is exalting the name of God. Listen to this now. I'm just going to read these to you, but listen to this. Christ is Jehovah Hosenu, the Lord our Maker. Did not Christ make all things? That's the name of the Lord. That's who He is, the Lord our Maker. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our Banner. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And this is all Christ's name, isn't it? He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our Peace. He's Jehovah Reah, the Lord our Shepherd. He's Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our Righteousness. He's Jehovah Imkadesh, the Lord that doth sanctify you. He's Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. He's Jehovah Jesus, the Lord our Savior. Whenever David wanted to build a house for the Lord, remember what the Lord told him? I'm going to raise up your son. And He wasn't talking about Solomon. He was talking about Christ. And He said this, "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever." And if anybody doesn't realize that's Christ, just go read Acts chapter 2. That's what Peter preached. That was Peter's message. Why do we give God in Christ all the glory? Why do we do it? Look at verse 4. "I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." When Christ was in that darkness, surrounded by His enemies, when hell and the devil and all the wickedness was around Him, and all His enemies were surrounding Him, and God had forsook Him, and He's hanging there in darkness, alone, treading the winepress of the fury of God alone, Christ sought the Lord. And he heard Christ. And he delivered him. And in doing so, he delivered all his people in him. And so, when he brought us to call on the Lord, when he speaks this word right here, effectually in your heart, says, come now, let us magnify the Lord together, let us exalt his name together. And he brings you to call on the name of the Lord. Begging mercy from the Lord. When you see you're surrounded by the law and that says you deserve to die, and you see that there's nothing you can do to save yourself, you see that your flesh is your enemy. You see that false religion is your enemy. You see that all your very best works in religion and all the deeds you did is all your enemy. And you're finally brought to truly seek the Lord and call out for mercy. For Christ's sake, he heard you. And for Christ's sake, he made you to know you're delivered. You're delivered. And when he did that, he brought you to glory in the Lord. Let me sum up what I've tried to show you here. Christ Jesus, our risen prophet, priest, and king, is preeminent in praising Jehovah, our triune God. And it's only by Christ teaching us through the Spirit of God in our hearts that we're able to bless the Lord, that we're able to give Him all the praise by resting entirely in Christ our salvation. This is what God said. In the Lord, shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and in the Lord shall all Israel glory. Nowhere else, just in the Lord. Why? Everyone that's called by my name, I created him for my glory. And I formed him, and I made him for my glory. If we're not glorying only in the Lord, we hadn't even been created by Him or made by Him. That's what His people do, because that's why He created them anew. In the Lord shall all God's elect be justified, and in the Lord shall all God's elect Israel glory. Aren't you thankful? That's Christ our prophet that teaches us that. I pray He don't. I don't ever want Him to cease teaching me that. I'll fall away in a heartbeat. I want glory only in Him. Amen. Let's stand together. Our great God and our Father, how we do thank You that You sent Your Son and You worked this work and continue to work this work in our hearts. We thank You, Lord, that You've raised Him to the right hand to continue to mediate, make intercession for us, and continue to teach us to glory only in Your holy name. Lord, make us rest in Christ. If there's any that is troubled by their sin or have doubts and fears about salvation, make us see and know and rest entirely in Christ the Lord. And by that, Lord, make us glory in You, only in You. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our foolish boasting and the things that we get caught up in, thinking we've really accomplished something. Lord, turn us and make us glory only in Your holy name. Speak this word effectually, we ask it. Lord, thank You for the trials. Thank You for the lessons You teach us through them. And thank You, Lord, that in it all, You won't ever lose one of Your people or let us go. Lord, You're people are suffering in this world, and You know it. You sent the trial. You know what You're doing. And Lord, we ask You, according to Your mercy, according to Christ's blood, according to His intercession at Your right hand, we ask You, Father, for His sake, for Your glory, for Your honor, for Your holy name, we ask You, Lord, comfort their hearts, bring them to see and rest in Christ alone. Lord, thank You for the word. Thank You for this place, for Your people everywhere. Be with Brother Eric and Michelle as they are preparing to move. Lord, be with the church in Missouri. We pray that You would comfort their hearts and knit their hearts together as husband and wife. Make them united forever. We ask it, Lord, that you might have all the glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.